Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Hasselbeck. Thank you for listening. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness. And of course, I'm here with my friends.
Hi, guys. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. It's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, and for those of you who don't know, Cher and I have co-founded our life ministry, and it's called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.
And you can find us online, and we invite you to come see what we're doing at gcsacommunity.org. gcsacommunity.org.
And I have paulhasselbeck.com. My weekly blog is the absolute word, as well as my calendar of events, what I'm doing in the weeks to come. And as Bill, when you said you had another beautiful, beautiful, we should say bountiful consciousness as well, because our consciousness surely does run us over. We are Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2, sharing about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we are in, drumroll, part 3 of The Wonder of Awe. And it's based on an article by Dasher Keltner about his book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And we are looking at the 8 wonders of life. And Cher, you want to take it from there?
Yes. And just as a reminder to everybody, the 8 wonders of life, according to him, are moral beauty, nature, collective effervescence, art, music, spirituality, epiphany, and then life and death. So those were his big categories. And we were riffing on those a little bit at the end of our last session. We got through moral beauty, nature, collective effervescence, and art. We talked a good bit about art. And I know there was something else I was going to say about art, and I totally do not remember what it was. So we are probably going to just jump right in with music.
Music, yeah. It's surprising how much music isn't a part of my life since I've played many instruments. However, I can think of times when I've been in awe of the music I'm listening to. In fact, my favorite album for when I'm teaching or doing workshops is an album called Solace by Michael Hoppe. And I heard the first track of that album for the first time when I was at the Unity Village bookstore, and I was dumbstruck by it. And so I guess that's a form of awe.
And we heard it the first time sitting in your class when you used it for the meditation, and we too were awestruck by it.
And yes, just for bringing this up, folks, I was a little bit more than awestruck by it.
Because it was another time he used the different track for you. I know what you're going to say.
And because when I was listening to it, it didn't take me long to realize that Beethoven's Romance of Violin segment there was a song I had heard played before when I was a 12-year-old twin girl in Auschwitz during World War II.
Oh, my goodness, a past life experience.
It flashed to him immediately, and that was the first time he had any awareness. That was another class where you chose to use a different track on that same album.
Yep.
And to this day, we use that sometimes for our meditation walk. We'll play that Solace at music, and when that track comes on, it just really still, that awe still affects Bill that way.
Well, if it's the track I'm thinking of, the first time I heard it, I also went back to a lifetime in Auschwitz.
Ah!
Oh, wow.
I can't remember ever telling you guys that. So
no.
Wow.
So now there's a bit of wonder between the three of us, isn't it?
Yes.
The awe does not stop, does it?
No,
It was no
no.
surprise to us then that the three of us are here again doing a very similar life work.
Yes,
Because I had the
indeed.
deja vu
In
experience in
Munich.
Munich. So there's a German
There's
influence for
a
me as well.
German theme going there somewhere.
Wow.
So I
Wow.
imagine a lot of people have heard a piece of music that they just listen to over and over and over again.
Yeah, my favorite song now is Imagine by John Lennon.
Oh,
And
that's
sung
great.
by
And sung by
Pentatonix.
Pentatonix.
Pentatonix version of that is just amazing.
I
It's
highly
amazing.
recommend.
And folks, you can look that up real easy on the internet. It is a
Yes.
great version. However, make sure you listen to it through good quality sound system.
Yeah.
Yes,
Really.
fabulous. Ooh, I've got goosebumps just thinking about this music. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we've covered how valuable music can be, and we play music a lot just to have it in our background. It's just very powerful.
And so the next one is spirituality, and of course, duh.
That's what enlightenment is all about, right? It's all
I
about
would call it the serial wonders of spirituality. As a person grows and expands, there are new wonders to become aware of. And of course, it's those wonders that give us awe.
yeah.
Yes. I love the idea that no matter where we are with our enlightenment journey, there's always more. No matter where we are, there's always more. Infinite potential. Love it.
Yes, you want to take this next one, Cher?
Okay, epiphany. So this is an interesting word. I have to be honest, I actually need a moment to look that word up because I thought I knew what it meant until you said, "Do you want to take this one?" And I love the word, but I'm not sure I can give you a good description. So I need to look it up and see what is some synonyms would be. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting things like flashes of insight, inspiration, realization, vision. Those are all powerful words to me, almost describe the result. They're almost like synonyms for the awe feeling.
Yeah, and so the epiphanies that I've experienced are usually in the context of spirituality, because I'm thinking on something, trying to understand it, and then finally I understand it, and it's like a flash of light in my consciousness.
Flash of insight. There you go. Yes. Some other strong matches they list are oracle, sign, or surprise. Epiphanies usually come as a surprise. It's not something you're expecting, right?
And this is where awe most connects to our last series on joy, because
Oh.
epiphanies are usually a surprise. At least they are for me.
Well, now, guys, I had hearing us talk now, when I was in high school, I ran track cross country and I was a half miler. And as a half miler, after a certain number, probably about halfway through the season, I had an epiphany that some of the teams that we run against had two runners, sometimes three runners in the same half mile event, with maybe four or five schools participating. And it occurred to me as an epiphany that some of these schools, the second runner was really not the runner to be concerned about. It was generally a sprinter. Long story short, the sprinter took off, hoping that the other athletes would follow as close as they could and burn out, because then you still had another quarter a mile to run. And my epiphany was follow the lead runner so that you could stay with him, and who may not surface until the second quarter or the last 220. And then you'll have a chance to beat him if you stick with him and not stick with the sprinter and get burned out.
Wow, that was a gr I would call that a great realization. And
Yes.
that's another synonym, isn't it?
It was a realization on how teams work in competition,
Yes,
which you can
indeed.
use as a metaphor. You know, it's interesting. A lot of epiphanies can be metaphors for other areas of your life,
Absolutely.
too, which is kind of cool.
Finally, life and death. People around the world find it awe-inspiring when life emerges and when it goes.
That's
And
true.
while I have not experienced that well, at least life emerging, like having my own child, I certainly have had pets that gave birth, and dogs and birds, and it is really not an overstatement to call it a miracle, the miracle of life.
Yeah, that's great.
And usually when I look at the word death, I usually put an adverb in front of it, physical death, because I know there's life beyond our physicality.
Yes, indeed.
And
And
the privilege of being present at the moment a person makes that transition, and transition is such a powerful word for what happens, and you know instantly when it happens. That is an awe moment.
yes, I remember getting to a point of absolute stillness when that happened with somebody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
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 Listen, that's kind of the reaction that which
Yeah.
describes awe is almost like a wow, just wow.
Yes.
And it's a very intimate moment.
Keltner calls it one of the many ways that awe is a very human thing. It's kind of the most human emotion is what he calls it. Well, I hope that's true, but I don't know what the dogs are experiencing or gorillas or whatever, but I feel very human when I do it.
And what's interesting is he has some science around it that relates to something we've talked about before, and that's the vagus nerve. I
Yeah,
thought
so
about
this is the big, well, so why, Bill and Cher, are we talking about this? And this is what it really boils down to. So you want to take that?
Okay, so awe elevates activation of the vagus nerve. And just so people are aware, the vagus nerve is that bundle of nerves that really goes right down the center of your body. And it's sort of like a super highway that goes to every part of your body. And you've heard us talk about the calm and connect breathing that relates to it. And what he says here about it is that it coordinates respiration in your heart rate. So that's good news for your heart, because awe reduces stress, he says, for older people, but I'm thinking it would reduce stress for everybody. I don't know why he picked, he's probably a young guy. He probably thinks 40's old. I don't know. But he said they feel less physical pain, or we've got work showing that awe reduces depression, it reduces anxiety, it makes you feel more connected and less lonely. And he says, even when you listen to a piece of music by yourself, you feel less lonely, that the music connects you, because it does activate that vagus nerve, which then calm produces that calming effect.
And just like a super highway, information travels both directions. It's just not from the brain out. It also body communicating back with the brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just so people are aware, that calm and connect breathing, which you can find, we've got a whole session where we talked about this. It's essentially you breathe in slowly through your nose to a count of four, then you hold it for a count of seven, and then very slowly exhale through your mouth to a count of eight, a slow count of eight. And if you do that three times, you truly feel the relaxation take place.
Yeah, and it turns out there's a lot of this information going around now, and it seems to be connected to the operation of our diaphragm. That's the muscle that goes across the top of your belly that pushes down to bring air in and pushes up to help with exhale. And so there's something about when we take control of that it causes this stimulation, and we feel more calm and relaxed and connected. And that's a good thing. And the reason why it's mostly a good thing is when you're feeling any of the opposite, when you're feeling pain, when you're feeling fear, when you're feeling worry, your breathing pattern changes and becomes usually short. And so this is something we can consciously do to override that system.
And then that also puts us in a place where we can tap into our powers, our principles, our practices, and operate at a higher level of being.
Yep. And so he says in this article, these are just some of the reasons that we should be thinking about finding a bit of awe every day. So, in addition to being joy spotters, we also want to be awe spotters. And
And
so there is one more. Yes. So, Sherry, you want to take this?
Bill's got
And
something.
we want to have an awful day, but that's AWE, full day.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And one of my favorite things in the article that makes that awful day awful instead are some tips on how to do this. And he refers to an essay by Rachel Carson called Help Your Child to Wonder. And in that article, she's talking about some tips to do this, but they're tips that work for everybody. And so we thought we'd wrap up this segment with these tips, if you will. So think about how you could use these tips. One is give yourself time. So, in other words, don't get so time pressured that you don't have that moment to recognize the awe. So many people miss it. You want me to just go through them?
Yes,
Sure.
just go through them.
So don't script things out too much. In other words, you could plan, but don't over plan.
Yeah.
Don't have a deadline, which is great, but
Yeah, for a lot of us, if there isn't a deadline, it won't get done.
yeah, and I would change that wording to don't have a completion.
Oh, which
Yes.
list is always open?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's not take the dead out.
Yeah. We used to call them goal lines when we taught in corporate. We'd say, don't have a deadline, have a goal line so that you have a better way to look at it. And then another point is to wander. Instead of using your smartphone and getting out a map, just drift a little. You love this one, Bill, because he hates, he doesn't, or no, I wouldn't say
Not
hates,
with
but
a
he
hat.
doesn't use maps and that kind of thing. He would rather just, he says, I'm not lost. I'm just not quite sure where I
I
am.
just use my instincts.
Yeah, but I'm going to get there. And then the final one is to begin with questions, not assertions. And we all three love this because we're proponents of questioning unquestioned answers. So the example that she gave was if you're going to a museum, think, I wonder what painting will move me today, instead of I'm going to look at such and such a painting.
And I would say that I wonder what's going to amaze me today,
I
just
love
in
it.
life in general. What's
Which
going
just opens your mind up to be on the lookout for it so you don't miss it because it's all around us. And the final piece of advice was watch out for language. And of course, the three of us love this one too, right?
Wow. I've been confused with someone that is a language cop or
Yeah,
police.
language cop, right? But her context is a little different because she's saying don't label everything. And I remember one activity that we used to do for an interactive thing was walk around the room and point at something and call, say, oh, there's, and call it something totally different. Like you point at the sofa and say, oh, look at that piano. And then you point to a lamp and say, oh, look at that glass. Isn't that pretty? And it's crazy, but it just gets you out of labeling things.
Yes, absolutely. And I can remember once again on my trip down to Northwest Arkansas of seeing this giant fish on the side of the wall that was shimmering and just filled me with joy and wonder. And I just had to figure it out. And that just having to figure it out was as much a part of the process as anything else.
I love it. Love
How
it.
are they doing that? Yeah.
Yep. How cool is that? That is awful. Use Bill's term.
He wraps with, so I think that combination of giving yourself time, wondering without a script, asking questions, and watching out for language set good preconditions for awe. And so, is it about time to pivot
Yes,
here?
it is indeed.
Okay, so the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from March 10th, and the word is timeless. In timeless silence, I renew myself. In timeless silence, I renew myself. I relax and let go, withdrawing my attention from my surroundings, breathing deeply and rhythmically, my mind relaxes and my heart opens. I enter my sacred inner sanctuary. Here I have no awareness of time. I hear no words, I think no thoughts, and I feel nothing. There is only the richness of the silence of which I am totally unaware. During this time, I am the presence of infinite life, love, wisdom, and so much more until I come out of it. The time and attention I devote to my regular practice of meditation builds deep, abiding peace and clarity in my consciousness. It is after these timeless moments that I discover I have all I need. Enough strength, understanding, love, and so much more. This realization helps me progress along my path and accomplish all that is mine to do. In timeless silence, I renew myself. And so it is. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. And thank you so very much for listening.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher saying thank you. We appreciate you and value you.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and the three of us invite you to experience timeless silence so you can renew yourself.